In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We have two scripture stories this Sunday on the topic of forgiveness, both warranting attention and consideration by all people of faith. We have the story of King David and Bathsheba from our Old Testament reading, 2 Samuel, and the story of the unknown woman washing our Lord's feet in the home of Simon the Pharisee in our Gospel, Luke 7. Both stories are full of intrigue, scandal, and drama. However, the ultimate theme of these well-known stories is forgiveness. Sadly, we have often been taught a shallow and false definition of forgiveness, equating it with simply erasing the memory of some wrong. Yet, if a wrong can be forgotten, it wasn't much of a wrong. We have all heard the saying as well, "I can forgive you, but I can't forget." I used to think that this was a rather harsh attitude. If I really forgive, then shouldn't I also forget it? After all, that's what God does with my sins. He throws them behind his back. And when they are forgiven, the relationship between us is restored. There is no obstacle remaining between us. God never looks at them again when they are forgiven. But try as hard as we can, such an act is very difficult when someone has wronged us. We are offended or hurt, angry or indignant, feeling victimized or foolish, even vengeful. We can be knocked off balance. We often realize it's going to take some time to recover. I suggest our readings show us that forgiveness is really a lifelong practice that involves the very opposite of forgiving and forgetting. Forgiveness takes place when the cause of estrangement between two persons is overcome through the initiative of one of them, and a good relation restored. It works to rebuild a relationship to its former state. The process, we gain back through it someone who could have been lost to us. And over time, we may even see the transformation of that person into someone more self-aware, self-differentiated, because they have been given a gift and another chance to do no wrong. If you are one who has been offended, the call is to let the offense generally have no power over you. Few of us can echo the words of Jesus on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," because quite often they do know what they do. Such was the depth, however, of Jesus' sacrificial love. But we can also come to see that we need to rise above it for our own sake as well as the other person. For the one who has transgressed, it means absolutely convicting oneself of the offense. The feeling of guilt and sinfulness propels one to seek forgiveness and make restitution as far as possible. No excuses, no rationalizing, just the deep realization that the burden of guilt can be lifted by forgiveness. But it is not something you can give yourself. It must come from the other. Confession and repentance are necessary. Then, thanks to the power of love, you have been graciously forgiven. For King David, it involved for the rest of his life a change in conscience that was anchored in the memory of his greatest wrong, one involving adultery and murder. God's forgiveness didn't make the wrong or the memory go away, but it changed the way David lived for the rest of his life. Forgiveness is one of the most powerful forces we have as Christians. Sometimes it seems that the church is the only place that teaches it and tries to practice it. Now, of course, I know that there are issues of restitution, justice, and such. But if we seek mercy and are merciful, we will find the way. For each of us knows that we have been forgiven ourselves. Look at the words of the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. It's a constant reminder of the usefulness of forgiveness. George Herbert once said, "He who cannot forgive others breaks the very bridge over which he must pass himself." This doesn't mean being a target, a pushover. Needless to say, we don't need to set ourselves up for abuse. You and I know the world probably perceives active, loving, transforming forgiveness as weakness. This morning, may each of us bring our unresolved hurts and memories of wrong to the church and lay them before the altar. Also, those troubling remembrances of the things we have done that hurt or wronged another. We won't leave them there to be erased from our memory, but we will have the promise that we are not alone in all these things, whenever and wherever, whichever side we are on, the offender or the offended. God is in the midst of it. God is already there. Christ has shown us the way. We are never more lovable than we are when we are praying for forgiveness or else forgiving another. Amen.